Hello and welcome to Echoes of Glory, Season 8, Episode 2. I'm Jack.
I'm Stato.
I'm Jay.
First episode of the season, Jay. How are
Great
you? Great
to be here.
Good
yes.
summer?
Yes, just come back from a couple of weeks in France.
Not bad.
Lovely. Well, I streamed the Fulham game to my iPad.
Nice.
Poolside.
Poolside, surrounded by screaming kids on Lilos.
Oh, what?
Excellent.
Yeah.
Not a better way to watch Spurs, is there, than that?
Well, I'd rather.
Yeah, there is that.
Right, first question for tonight is, was the victory at Old Trafford last night the best away result that we've had in the Premier League? What do you think?
No.
Good. Thanks for joining us, everyone.
In 2016-17, we beat the reigning champions 6-1. Leicester.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
I don't really believe that, because I think they'd already been deposed by then at that stage.
Well, they did ask for their Leicester back, didn't they?
They did, and they got it. Yeah,
so.
Very much so.
Forgot about that one.
You've got to remember where our starting point is for this, because I'd googled Tottenham's best away results.
Yeah, there you go. You
and actually, only a year ago, the press were asking questions about us, because we'd only won 4 of our last 96 away games at Woolwich, Stamford Bridge, Anfield and Old Trafford.
Yeah.
You know, okay, Woolwich have definitely dropped out of that now. Yeah. Man City are part of that, but we haven't got such a bad record up there.
Yeah.
But we were dreadful away historically. That's only our third win in the Premier League at Old Trafford.
Mm.
Five in my lifetime.
Mm.
You know, that's insane.
But then if you look
but
back.
You see, I remember 2012 and 2014 like they were only yesterday.
But then before that, it was 1989.
Mm.
Yeah,
you know, I
yeah.
mean, that's the depth we have to go to for league wins at Old Trafford. It is my only reason I would doubt that is I don't think it's a good Man United team. There might be good players, they're just not playing for the team or playing for the manager. It's like Chelsea last season. That was an amazing result and a monkey off our backs, but it wasn't a good Chelsea last season.
Yeah.
So I kind of think, does that count? So for me personally, I'm going to go for the win against Man City in 09-10 to qualify for the Champions League.
Yeah,
it was us or City for fourth and fifth and that critical Champions League place.
That was an amazing night watching that.
What a night that was.
Yeah.
That in terms of meaning had it all. But I don't think, and I know you've shared that opinion before about these away victories somewhat lacking something because we weren't playing that particular side.
Yeah.
Chelsea and United at their best. You could argue even in 2014.
Yeah. No, you're right.
We were playing a woeful United side. 2012, perhaps less so.
Yes.
Yeah. That was AVB really pulling it out of the bag. But at the end of the day, a win is a win.
Mm-hmm.
And... Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to look at our trajectory.
Yes, that's also
and
very true.
Our trajectory has often been halted in the last 3 years under Pochettino, with these woeful away performances at some of the top sides in the league.
Definitely agree with you there.
I think a couple of points for me on it. Whilst it's not a strong United team, and it's not, I mean, you've got Jones, Smalling, and Shaw.
Yeah.
Making up 3 of the back 4, which you're never going to win a title.
And Valencia. I mean, I cannot see how Valencia and Young. Played all of last season. Is that not where United's weakness is?
I like Valencia, but centre half. I mean, and you look at the other options. He's got Lindelof, where you paid about £30 million for him, and he's just a shambolic. But I think back to times where we went to Old Trafford, and there's one game in particular where we went up there, and their midfield was something along the lines of Giggs, Anderson, Cleverley, and Raphael.
Mm-hmm.
That was and this and well,
and
well,
38
Beckham,
year old
Beckham
that.
Rooney up front, and you think there's not much in this sub of like Brown, O'Shea. It was that kind. And I remember us going up there losing 3-0.
Yeah,
and we had Modric, Bale, this fantastic side, Ledley at the back, and you're just thinking, no, this is our time. But playing at Old Trafford against any team is still a big, big hurdle to get over.
And Poch had never won there,
so
you know it was actually quite an achievement in itself. But
go on, Jay.
Well, they met us at a time when we weren't at our best.
That's also very true.
So you could definitely look at it like that. I mean, I think the AVB performance was notable. I mean, do you remember it had that crazy 5 minutes?
Yeah,
you know, just goals were going in left, right, and centre.
I've got that written down. Actually,
it was just balmy. I remember it like it was yesterday, only because. For the listeners that are also golf fanatics, It was the same weekend as the Ryder Cup in 2012, right. The Miracle of Medina, where we were so far, Europe was so far behind. Yeah, yeah. And we came back on that last day, Miracle of Medina. Yeah. And I was dual screening.
Yeah.
It was one of the first big dual screen experiences I had. Anyway. But I remember it just being a crazy, crazy
Day. Well, we took the lead on 2 minutes, which was a Jan goal that got given us an Evans own goal. Second one was from Bale, and then this crazy moment when Nani scored for them on 51, Dempsey for us on 52, and Kagawa for them on 53. And then they threw the kitchen sink at us, didn't they? We absolutely... Now, I'd watched that game on Match of the Day as live. I couldn't watch it, you know, in person. Yeah. I couldn't watch it live. So I didn't have the agony that everyone else had of all those chances.
Just hanging on.
You know, the whole 48 minutes plus. I just had the 20-minute highlights and...
The Bale goal in that game was incredible. He picked the ball up on the halfway line and just ran.
Yeah.
And he just, the speed that he ran at, and then the finish was fantastic.
Yeah.
Some other games that people suggested actually as big away wins. THFC 1976, Jason on Twitter said 3-1 at Chelsea last season. Mm-hmm. He also mentioned the 1-0 against City, and said the 3-2 at the Emirates.
Yes,
when we were 2-0 down. But I don't necessarily think that was our best away result, because we were dreadful for 45 minutes of that game. So I mean, we should have probably been 4-5-0 down. But I remember that was when the Yunus Kabul header going in, and just that's a blast from the past as
Van der Vaart penalty and Bale into the left hand.
Yeah, Jermaine Defoe come on and won a header, didn't he?
That
led to the Bale goal. Dan Hearn as well, Holiday Dan. Didn't quite understand the question, because it was quite a complicated one. Is that our best away result in the Premier League? And he said 1-0 in the San Siro.
Excellent. Against a really weak AC Milan team as well. But there we are.
But that was another magical night in the Champions League. And he says that was completely unexpected. It was a hell of a disciplined performance. We had a very gung-ho style that season. Surprised everyone with how organised we were.
Chalukya got broken by Flamini, didn't he?
In one of the worst tackles of all time.
Oh, and Gattuso on Jordan on the touchline. Yeah.
You'd think of all the people to start on, it wouldn't necessarily be him.
He said something to me in Scottish.
Any other games that we've missed that big away performances? The other one that I thought of was the City when we won 2-1.
Yes.
Not too long
Ericsson
ago.
Ericsson
got the winner. Do you remember when Lamella came on and slid the pass for, and that was like our first big winner and at away ground for a long time.
It was Pochettino. That was the first signs that Pochettino was delivering some amazing results.
Because we'd lost
results.
6-0, even if not the year before, not long, but we'd been only two seasons before.
Yeah.
Probably there was the Deadwood season in between.
Yeah. But interestingly, you know, there's obviously the record and the stats that you said about us in the top away games. That's a victory at United, a victory at Chelsea, and we drew at Liverpool.
Yeah.
So our last three... We've taken 7 points, which actually, like, that's pretty good going.
We should have beaten Liverpool away.
Yeah.
Great opportunity to beat them.
Second half, we were by far and away second. And we gifted them a goal.
Definitely.
I cannot wait to play them.
Let's talk
I know Liverpool aren't on the agenda today.
Let's talk about the United game.
Yeah, because I do want to be more positive about that. I've started on quite negative about that
game.
Let's
talk about that. So the first talking point was when the team sheet was announced, Hugo Lloris was starting and he was captain. We haven't really had a chance to discuss all of that stuff. So what's your stance on everything that's gone on?
What he did, if he's correctly found guilty of it, is an appalling thing to do. Lives are at risk. It shouldn't be condoned. But it's not actually anything to do with his day-to-day dealings with the club. He wasn't on club business. There are many, many people who have this against them, and it doesn't affect their day-to-day work life, so I don't personally see how it should be involved. Ultimately, the decision is with Poch, in my view, and I think a lot of, you know, it was blown up and sensationalised, not just by the press, but by Spurs fans on Twitter.
Yeah, Twitter was very interesting.
My only comparison was other players have come back and been adored by fans after actually killing someone. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, that's right, but I'm saying, you know, some context needs to be made that it's, you know, well, I think footballers see this as an occupational hazard, unfortunately.
Would you keep him as captain?
If Poch is happy to, then I am too. I don't think personally it's a good thing. But it's happened in his private life.
He took a very grown-up step of coming into Hotspur Way and apologising immediately to the whole squad. And talking to them all about it and being very open and honest about it. And I think he's got the temperament for it to not affect him. And very, very clearly, it didn't.
No.
He turned in absolute masterful display. And if you even his distribution yesterday was
if you look at the hug between Pochettino and Lloris at the end, I mean, every player, man for man, got a hug on the pitch.
Yeah.
But I think Poch even sort of bear hugged him and lifted him off the ground.
Lifted him off the ground.
You know, just to say, we're a team and you're part of it, you're the leader of it actually, so you know, we'll come together for you.
It was an amazing signal of intent that he started as captain,
and
it
so
just
well.
Demonstrated how tight, how galvanised that unit is this year.
I mean, there's a mistake in him often, isn't there? So if he's got his mind on other things, it certainly didn't show last night.
And actually, I think that if you look at the whole performance, I mean, I don't know if we'll talk about this, but I went in there. In fact, the whole transfer debacle, that wasn't really a debacle in my head at all, the fact that we didn't manage to sign anyone, but you're right, the Twitterati of Tottenham were going bananas.
Yeah.
And amongst that, like Abbas was going bananas, his own little brand of bananas, wasn't he?
Yeah.
He was just going nuts for it. Why aren't we signing anyone? And I genuinely thought at the time, who do we need? We don't know what conversations are happening.
That's the key thing. That's what I said.
And I remained cautiously optimistic that we would start this season really well. And I said it a few times, and we have. So I actually went into this game with a level of optimism, because I also felt, actually coming out that Brighton game, that Mourinho wouldn't be able to galvanise his side the way he did. As it happens, They came at us.
They started.
That midfield, we couldn't get a footing because they had extra men at every ball.
My worry was that it was going to be another Dembélé performance like in the semi-final where he didn't quite cut the mustard. But do you know what? In fact, Pochettino got a message out there. Things changed, didn't they? But, you know, just around the half an hour mark.
Yeah.
And it just seemed to...
I would love to know whether or not it's Pochettino's sending instructions out, because we were under it for half an hour.
Yeah, yeah.
And the fact that the pundits couldn't work out what system United were playing, good luck figuring it out on the pitch when all that's going on as well. And I'd like to know whether or not it's Pochettino has figured it out and has got a message on and gone, change it, do this, or some of the players have gone, hang on a minute, we're struggling, and Dyer's pulled Ericsson and gone, right, sitting here, he's got Kane a little bit deeper, and I'd just love to know whether or not it's one or the other or both, because I think we've got the characters in the side where actually we can manage a lot of these situations ourselves now. And the interview that Potts did as well, he sort of said, didn't he, well, at half time we tweaked a few things, but ultimately it was the players. And I think that is something that we've just never ever had, the ability to be like, hang on, we need to hang on here, we will hang on here, let's change it, let's adapt, and then get through this spell.
But that comes from having had a manager for long enough that the players know what he wants and are likely to know what his reaction would be to what's going on in front of them if he can't convey that message. We also have players who have that confidence to do something and make a change and pull a player back and pull without fear of ramifications. You know, there are plenty of managers out there, John Gregory types, Alan Pardew's, like, who'd see that as an affront that somebody would make a tactical
challenge
on their behalf.
Whereas
I think on Pochettino's side, he's a guy who's more pragmatic and more can see the benefits of the team and actually wants his players to see these problems and identify them.
They've played well. They've played together long enough to have their own little plan Bs.
Definitely.
You know, and one of which you've just mentioned is Kane dropping deep.
Yeah.
In fact, he dropped deep for much of the rest
works
of the game.
So well.
He does. He does.
So well.
He does.
He's so intelligent. Yeah. I mean, you can't put a price on his football intelligence because his ability to come and keep the ball and to draw a foul. I mean, he's phenomenal at it. I mean, I don't know if he wears armoured plated shin pads like around his whole legs or not, because his ability to ride a challenge and take a foul and get us out of trouble, it's incredible. And not just, you know, you think last few minutes, or like he did in the England, you know, in the World Cup, we did it for lots of the period of the late in the games. He does it early on, and he, you know, he does it expertly.
Rode our luck though, big time.
Yeah, I mean, I about 15 minutes in, I was sat there thinking, oh God, this is going to be a 2-3-0 United. I couldn't really see anything other than that because they were just all over us. But we have that resilience now that we can get through those tough spells. And once we did, once it got to about half an hour and we started to get a little bit more control, Eriksen was getting on the ball a little bit more, you're starting to think, oh, actually, no, there's chances here. Lucas Moura, even in the first half, was fantastic. And he should, we had a Stonewall penalty not given, which, how that wasn't given,
it's one of those where I suspect, and talking as a referee, had the referee been more face onto it and not behind and to the side,
he
would have seen the impact more. The assistant is incredible, even though he's facing it, it's on the other side of the penalty area. So, yeah, it should have been given, but you understand that they're not. Yeah. We'd have been frustrated had it been given against us, but in reality, it should have been a penalty.
I mean, in my head, at half-time, it sort of cancelled out that open goal that can't be missed.
They put a stat up during the game of his shot conversion rate against Tottenham, which was 5%.
He'd only scored one goal, hadn't he?
Yeah.
And if not, if memory serves, was that in a dead rubber? Was it, like at the end of a game?
End of season 3-2 for when he was at Everton.
I mean, you wonder whether Jan, who left a couple on him then, had sort of got in his head a little bit. Because Jan was not giving him an inch.
He's such a brilliant centre-half.
He was so good.
And they know his game.
Part of me thinks that's another reason why Toby started. Because those three know each other inside out. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it was Jan that shut out.
Did anyone expect Sanchez to play the back three? Because I think it gives us more going forward and a solidity.
I thought he might have gone with the back three, to be honest. I think we look good when we play that formation.
Yeah.
But I think he might have looked at it and gone, against United, obviously couldn't have prepared for what formation they played.
Yeah.
But he will have probably looked at the games against them last season that we narrowly lost and thought, the game will be won or lost in the middle of the park.
Yeah,
so if I play a 4-2-3-1, I can drop someone else in.
Yeah,
whereas if I play the three, we're going to be outnumbered for periods.
Yeah,
I don't think it was a stellar game from Dyer. I'm not being critical of him, but I just... And the first half said to me that how casual we are in possession. Mm. That was the first thing I said. I watched it with a friend who's a West Ham fan, and he was like, do you give the ball away? I said, yeah, we do. I don't know how we do, but we do.
Mm.
We don't get punished as often as we used to, it seems. But but in the first half, I looked at us and I looked at Man United, and I said, these two teams are so far off Man City, and in fact, even what I've seen this season, Chelsea are ahead of both of us.
Well, I've not seen United press like that.
No.
And I don't think we were expecting United to press like that. So a lot of it, you know, I saw Eriksen give the ball away as well. You know, a lot of it is down to the fact that they were pressing in bizarre places that we weren't expecting it.
Sort of Liverpool-esque.
They were playing funny
up there, because when we are getting pressed like that, and we did realise it after 20 minutes, right, we just sort of said, let's be a bit more direct then. And we play up, we win the free kicks, we get 30 yards up the pitch, and we stop their attacks. But I mean, the second half, the header from Kane is an incredible header as well. Like, I know everyone's talking about Lucas Moura's goals, rightly so, but the header is incredible. He's going backwards to generate the power, the accuracy, and to hold off the centre half is incredible.
Again, exceptional delivery from Trippier for the actual cross from the corner.
Phil Jones, I mean, what a shambles.
He's a strange guy, isn't he? Like, just everything about him, he's so clumsy.
He just had such a shambolic.
Time.
I mean, it's almost reminded me of Lovren last season, who was just singled out as the one shambles that might need a little.
He was definitely
might need a little bit of psychiatric coaching.
Phil Jones was definitely the kid at school that would like forget his PE kit and would have to be sprinting home and would be all sweaty and just. He was definitely that kind of guy. But as soon as that first goal went in, there was a sense of we're at him here.
You
could see when Gary Neville said it after the game, the panic on the United players when they went a goal down, they didn't know what to do. But to score the second as quickly as we did, a goal that was!
Well, they came at us straight away.
Yes,
and we have conceded very quickly.
Yeah, yeah.
Newcastle, very recently. Yes, who came back at us after a minute.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was concerned about that because they immediately had a chance on the edge of our box.
But that breakaway goal was fantastic. You know, I love goals where you know it's going to happen 2 or 3 seconds before it does.
Yeah.
And you can see on one side of the
Trippier's
TV.
Trippier's ball into Eriksen. And do you know what? The strength of having another player, and it was Lucas Moura last night, that ball would always have just gone into Kane.
Mm.
But Kane made the run to the post. He was ahead of everyone, but he drew people out and he made the space. And actually, there were two players there. who could have hit it. And you know, that's just fantastic that we had players running finish. Into the box and breaking, and just De Gea no chance again.
Brilliant!
That's so
brilliant
quick, finish. So quick on his feet, wasn't he, for the finish?
But the third goal for me was just the way Kane like can read, I just, read the bef- play.
Before that, can I just talk about the 2-0 up and the sheer panic that caused me? Because I was more worried at 2-0 up than I was at 0-0.
I was.
Because we have something and we could lose it. And we've got a shiny thing and we needed to cherish it and we need to make it. And do you know what? We didn't make defensive substitutions. We didn't close up. We didn't. We were like, get Sanchez on. Just, and I was like, who did you take off from the midfield? And I was like, there was a case for everyone in that midfield to stay on because Moura was the out ball. Yeah. Every time his pace made them be deeper. They couldn't afford to let him get in behind them. And then they had to make their changes. Then they had straight away, as they made one, Jones goes off injured, so that affects them as well. And let's go back to you.
Yeah. There was still over half an hour to go.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think 55, 56 minutes to go. I was thinking, get another. Yeah, we need another really badly because at 2-1, you know where it's going, don't you?
Yeah.
What amazed me as well was Jose's substitution. You think you've got Rashford sat there, you've got Martial sat there, and I know he put Sanchez on, who's been pretty poor so far this season, doesn't look fit at all, but he's got this array of attacking players on the bench, and there's something not
there's no cohesion though to what they do. You don't think it's like you see a team, I'm not naming anyone in particular, but they need a goal, so they throw a striker on, but they take the winger off. You're like, well, who's going to provide for him? You've just put him there, but you've now taken away his avenue of but there was no, I mean, I'd have changed it, taken Valencia off and gone three at the back or something like that, or change.
Made a big change.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. A seismic change.
But the third goal was just, I think, brilliant as well.
Yeah.
The way Kane let the ball bounce, so it went over the defender, played the ball, and Lucas Moura burst in through him. And the pace of the guy is terrifying. And you can see it. And I think they said it in the analysis as well. Like, he's running against Smalling. Smalling had about 5 yards on him. And Smalling's not a slow centre-back. No. And he roasted him. And then the finish as well was just... Because I thought it was going to be one of them... He bursts through and then blazes it out the stadium. Yeah. One of those type finishes. But he was so calm and just slid it in. And then you're thinking, we're 3-0 up at Old Trafford with less than 10 minutes to go. Like, it's game over, surely. It was incredible.
3-0, I'll admit, I started milking it. It was brilliant. You know, I was in a pub watching it. The atmosphere was fantastic, and it was just...
I enjoyed the chance Sanchez, what's the score, was good as well.
You've just got to soak those moments up.
Absolutely incredible performance
and
from
fair
everyone.
Play to our supporters, because 3,000 people going up on a Monday night when there were no trains to come back because of the bank holiday weekend.
They all drove, didn't they?
That is an epic performance, and those fans never stopped singing. They would have been singing if we were 3-0 down. Yeah. I know them. You know... you have my utmost respect, Tottenham fans.
There was a couple of other outstanding performances. I know we talked about Dembele, who was brilliant against Pogba. I want to talk about Dele Alli as well, because for me this season, he's been playing in every game he's played, he's been asked to do something different. And I think even against United, he was being asked to do things that he probably doesn't want to do. As an attacking midfielder, you want to score goals, get in the box, and he's being told, I need you to help your midfield out defensively, I need you to do this. And he's been brilliant. And he's shown such maturity for a guy in his early 20s.
He's so athletic.
Fantastic player.
Should have scored, really. Should have scored. But, yeah. I mean, he was up there, wasn't he? For, you know, trying to interrupt them playing out the back.
Yeah.
And he had a golden chance.
Yeah, he did. He did. But just...
And do you know what? And do you know what's brilliant about him? He's always agitating.
Mm.
He's always agitating.
But you
had a right go at Herrera after that. And I love that.
I'm not worried about Ali's head going. I know a lot of people say, oh, he's a guy that plays on the edge. But he's had one red card for us, which wasn't a headbutt. It was a bad tackle.
Yeah,
it wasn't
a
moment of someone's wound him up. Yeah, and he's let his head go. But he's always antagonising the opposition.
Yeah.
And I thought Herrera was going to... When he was pressing him and he had Herrera facing his own goal and he was all over him, I was just expecting an elbow from Herrera.
Yeah.
That
was
the kind of thing. And he's so good at
it. Because he got a yellow for a tackle on Rose, hadn't he? That kind of happened when the camera had sort of gone. It was, you know, might not have been seen by everyone, but...
I enjoyed seeing Rose back.
I was nervous. I mean, I didn't see any reason... Until we're playing two games a week, when Poch naturally changes his fullbacks every game... I thought Davies was the more conservative player. Yeah. I'd prefer to see him. I wondered if it was an element of, you know, they wanted Alderweireld, they wanted Rose, and a Jim Bowen, let's show him what you could have won.
Yeah.
You know, did Potts try and force that on them?
Well, he's still, there's still three days of the window still to go, so he could still go.
Overseas,
he could still
yeah.
go to yeah. Schalke, wasn't it?
Yeah,
that were interested. So
I just couldn't see. I couldn't see.
It's the fact there's no cover. There's no cover. I don't see us letting him go. Yeah, no. If it was a right back, yes, because there's Walker Peters in the background. Yeah. But no, there's no need to weaken this squad.
No. I'd like to see him play more. I really would.
I'd like to see him play well. And as a consequence, he'd play more.
With both him and Toby, with both Danny and Toby, that some hatches have been buried over this summer.
I'd love Danny Rose. And that season, I think it was 15-16, where he was the best left-back in the league by a country mile. But with his injuries and that he's had and his age and that now, I think he's going to have to change his game and become a different left back.
So
now.
Athletic, isn't he?
That he was so reliant on it, bombing forward and having his pace and his strength to get out of it.
His elasticity when he gets smashed. I mean, he always ended up doing a somersault, didn't he? Yeah.
I'm with you. I was surprised to see him starting.
Yeah.
I'm not against it. I think he's a great player, and all the stuff that he's gone through off the field makes me want him to do even better on the field. All the stuff he's going through. Lucas Moura is Tottenham's top scorer in the Premier League at Old Trafford, which is an incredible stat with two goals.
Because Kane had only scored one against United.
I fancy him.
Time.
I can't see Son. Well, he's Brazilian. I can't see Son getting his automatic place back.
Not at the moment, no.
No way.
But this is the key.
I fancy him to get 10, 15 goals at least.
The way he's playing at the minute, he's our top scorer.
He's already,
he's like a new signing.
But I mean, what a night to be a Spurs fan to see us win 3-0 at Old Trafford. I mean,
and that team, it was not an expensively put together team.
Cost less than Pogba, or thereabouts.
Yeah. More at 25 million is the most expensive player by country mile. That is a team that's grown together, that has been put together by Pochettino, and is now beginning to flourish.
And you cannot put a price on that.
It's a beautiful thing.
And I can't see a team that we won't beat or that we can't beat. We have to approach now. And the two obvious ones are obviously Liverpool and City.
Yeah.
And we'll be approaching those two games with a level of belief that I think we haven't had.
And how about we put forward a petition to play all of our home games at Old Trafford now?
To round off the United game, the Spurs poet was on Twitter earlier. We haven't been able to share too much of his content on the pod. I don't know why we don't do it most weeks, but we haven't shared too much of his stuff on the pod for a while. But I saw this earlier and thought we've got to share this. So this is his poem about the game last night. So, dream becomes a nightmare. Welcome to Monday Night Football. It's Manchester's theatre of dreams. But it isn't just Tottenham Hotspur lads, and they are not like Fergie's teams. Because we know who is really special and it's ripping the media apart, this fella down at Tottenham has magic as an art. Pochettino is working his wonders, and what a signing Lucas Moura can be. It took him half a season to settle, but now the class is really there for all to see. And Harry is now laughing at August, another month, another goal, another win. It's a wonderful start to the season, another hoodoo to screw up and then bin. Glory, glory to the mighty Tottenham Hotspur. Old Trafford emptied out rather quick. Just another sign to the league. We mean business. I bet many pundits and biased media feel sick.
Brilliant.
And Davey at the Spurs Poet on Twitter.
Davey Elder is an absolute legend of a guy. I love him. I've had a beer with him when I met up with him at Bricklayers one Saturday afternoon. He was over for a game, and he's just such a lovely fella. So
hopefully more of those.
Let's have your own slot, Davey.
What do you make of Mourinho's post match antics?
What surprised me is that he not once has he dug his players out, and that's normally a Mourinho thing. Is I blame this player, blame that player.
Luke Shaw was on the pitch. Surely he could have slated Luke Moore. Luke Shaw.
Luke Shaw had a good game.
Yeah, he did. He did. He seems to have roasted
Trippier for the first half. We couldn't get near him. I was just surprised because I've not seen him really take that approach before, and I don't know. I mean, he's a man under a lot of pressure. His job's been apparently on the line, isn't it? So I mean, you feel for him in that respect that he's still a human and it's his job. But
I think we saw him do this at Chelsea, and I think a part of this could be about shielding his players.
Mm. Neighbour.
And making this about him. You know, I mean, we all want to believe that being the natural egotist, he just wants to make it about him. But I think there's something smarter in that, and I think you know, he clearly didn't get what he wanted. You know, they ended up signing no big marquee centre back.
Yeah, there's a lot of people saying, you know,
and I think they're paying the price.
He bought Bailey, he bought Lindelof, and spent the best part of 50-60 million on the pair. But you know, City have bought lots of players. They haven't then said, the chairman said to Pep, well, that's it. They've gone on and bought more and more and strengthened. And
yeah, I get it on one hand, him moaning about a transfer, but then he spent 60 million on that Fred, who looks not even an average player at the moment.
And there were large parts of that game where I'd forgotten he was playing. I thought it was Fred the Red, the mascot they were talking about.
It just looks like, I don't know.
He was bang average. And they ended up, the conspiracy theorists were saying, well, he played Herrera at the back just to make a point.
Yeah.
Who was dreadful at the back.
I do find it odd, though, you'd play five when there's definitely only one. You know what I mean? It's like, not as if we had a front line of three strikers.
Interesting. Let's move on. Spurs on this day. So we've got two, actually, for today. Yeah. So 28th of August. So on this day in 1987, Tony Galvin left for Sheffield Wednesday. He joined us from Gaul Town in 1978. And scored 31 goals in 273 games, which I think is correct. Do you want to talk a little bit about Tony Galvin, the 1987 season?
And not so much that season, but Tony Galvin, definitely. He was, I don't think it's unfair to say, he was the most underrated player of that era of Spurs teams that made the finals of the FA Cup in 81-82, the League Cup in 82, and then the UEFA Cup final in 84. He gave us tremendous balance. He was a proper old-fashioned winger. You know, if you can just imagine a guy, doesn't look remotely athletic to look at him, even, you know, historically, certainly not now. He was a player that just ran all day, and in a time when you could come from Gaul Town in 1978 for 30,000, having been scouted by the great Bill Nicholson, and within 2.5 seasons be playing in the first division. You know, in a regular basis, you know, that midfield had all the guile and all the beauty of Hoddle and Ardiles, and he gave him that balance and the service that he provided for Archibald and Crooks that few years just gave them goals.
If you were to compare him to any player in the modern days, is there one?
I don't think there is. I really don't. I think it's positionally, football's changed. Wingers aren't, dribbling's not encouraged because possession is key. But he was definitely a crowd favourite. He had his own song.
I really did. Tony Galvin
on the wing with thousands of people. Maybe that sounds a little bit better. But yeah, he was a good player. I suspect towards the end of his career, his physical condition probably. You know, he was a heavy set player, if not, you know, overweight. You know, the type of player now that gets ridiculed in the game. People mock Shaqiri. He takes his shirt off and he's, you know, he might be barrel chested, but he's certainly, you know, he's ripped, isn't he, to an extent.
The other one, so 3 years ago today, we signed Sonny from Bayer Leverkusen.
Oh, wow.
£22 million. What a signing that's
that seemed like a lot of money for a guy who was playing at a, you know, no one outside of the top three in Germany.
Yeah.
Well down the
proven goal scorer
there, but
he's been a fantastic signing.
But then you thought, in German football, is he getting them against Schalke or Dortmund or Bayern, or is he scoring them against the weaker teams? But yeah, what a signing.
Top of the table clash at the weekend.
Watford.
Title 6 points against Watford. They've started the season fantastically. Three wins from three.
Pereira's been excellent for them.
Yeah, I look at Watford and I still think, I don't really know who plays for you. Like, they're one of those sides that they're never quite in a relegation battle, but they just seem to get the job done.
They've got enough good players that they'll beat the dross and see themselves comfortable.
And they've got Kabul as well.
Is he there?
He's still there. Can't get
Kabul.
A bit bitter. I wonder what he's going to be like about, you know, their manager, if he's been bitter about Pochettino. But Capu should be serving the second of a 3-match ban. Astonishingly got away with that against Bayern. He's not, but he should have been. He should have got a red card.
When was that? On Saturday?
No, the previous game.
Who was that?
Burnley.
He put one in against Palace.
Oh, that's right, Palace.
It was the best way to describe it, Jay, was that Graham Souness said it was a disgusting tackle and should have been a red card.
And can
that's
I just say,
he never did that. He never did that playing for us.
Yeah. Going back, Graham Souness did Tony Galvin really early on in the League Cup final of '82.
Yeah.
Properly, two-footed tackle. Yeah. Galvin just slid in on the floor. I actually watched that on YouTube this afternoon as research. And astonishingly, Galvin plays on and doesn't go off. Mm. Hazard gets substituted later in the game, but bear in mind it's in the first 10 minutes.
Yeah.
But the Liverpool saw Galvin as the threat to us that day and destroyed him.
The old school leave one on
him.
He
had a hole in his leg afterwards. It was that bad.
Ouch.
I mean, they've
got Doucouré as well, haven't they? I've always liked him.
I did wonder if he'd be the sort of. We pay over the top for a guy who's performed reasonably in the Premier League at a lower ranked team.
I mean, they've started well, Watford, but I'm still confident we can go there and get 3 points. I mean, we always seem to play well against them. Trippier in particular always seems to have blinders.
Scored a winner, didn't he, at White Hart Lane?
We didn't win there last season, did we?
Did we draw that one?
It was an early season draw. Lamella scored,
It was an early season draw.
Did we have 10 men? I feel like we went down to 10 men in the second half in that game.
Previous two seasons, I was there to
batter them.
Boxing Day
or certainly around Christmas.
No, the Boxing Day I went to about 3 years ago. Yeah. I was right behind the goal. Could smell Lloris's aftershave.
Oh, nice.
Sure, it weren't the booze.
Yeah.
were you there when Son scored the last minute?
Yeah,
winner. That was then.
Yeah, they piled into. I was in the family enclosure right next to the away end, and they just piled in right next to us.
It must be your local ground.
I can get an Uber there in about 10 minutes.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Predictions for that? Watford away,
2-1 for Tottenham.
I'll go an absolute mauling, 3-0 again.
3-0.
I think I'll
go for a 2-0. Maybe not a destruction, I think we'll have enough to get.
What are the stats on our best ever start to a league? Stato?
Oh, well, 1960-61, where we won our first 11 games.
Oh, right.
You'd take that, wouldn't you? I'd be happy with that. Yeah.
It's discussed last week. You weren't listening.
No,
wasn't. Funny enough.
Sorry.
Pool side.
This is our best start under Potts, though, isn't it? Three from three. We always tend to start.
And actually, we're 5 points up on the corresponding games last season already.
Really?
So, you know, because we lost at Old Trafford.
Mm.
This is what we needed. This is what we've lacked every season. It's a fast start. So I wonder whether that. There's a level of certainty that comes from locking that transfer window down early that's done us a massive favour.
Well, speaking of the transfer window, as you mentioned earlier, Jay, it's still open for a couple of days. There have been a few rumours floating around of Sissoko, as we like to call him, to Fenerbahce.
He's done.
Is that a done deal now?
As a loan or as a deal?
Yeah, as a loan.
Because there was some stuff last night circulating about it, which is why he wasn't involved.
I've offered to drive wherever he needs to get to. I'm not willing to drive him. I was thinking more the airport, but
do you think anyone else will go?
I honestly don't think so. I mean, if he's willing to let Sissoko go, he must be happy that midfield, Winks being back, the players he has got, if we have to call on them from the youth team.
He's got Onuma as well, hasn't he? Used one. He hasn't featured much, but
Sissoko was more than squad mate last season, wasn't he? He played a lot of football.
Didn't he? At one point, I think in like February or March, he'd played the most of any outfield player.
Very plausibly.
I think he's done a job for us. Like, he's not been the amazing signing that he should be for $35 million. He's not that type of player.
It's galling the amount of money you have to pay for.
Look what he's done to his voice. Yeah, just even talking about
squad filler. You know, and I'm still confident that we'd never paid what the press reported, and that the deal was we paid Newcastle £6 million a year for the length of his contract or until the moment we sold him. So if this would be 3 seasons, it's only cost us £18 million,
which is not too bad, is it? It's time for the We Are Tottenham Hotspur quiz. So the new quiz feature that we've got. I'm going to give you... Jay doesn't know about this because he hasn't been listening.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you a game. I'm going to give you the month and the year of when that game was. I'm going to tell you about half of the Spurs lineup, and you've got to try between you to figure out who the other players were that played.
Oh, God.
So, because we played Man United, we're going with Man United 1, Tottenham Hotspur 0, August 2015.
Okay.
So we played a 4-2-3-1-ish formation. So in goal was Vorm.
Right.
Do you want to write this down, or are you going to?
I haven't got a pen this time. So.
In goals form, right back was Kyle Walker.
Yeah.
Centre halves were Alderweireld and Vertonghen.
Yeah.
So just again, write that down. So it was Vorm in goal.
Yeah.
It was Walker at right back, Vertonghen and Alderweireld at centre half. Left back is a question mark. That's one we've got to get. I'll do the team do guesses after. The two central midfielders are question marks. We've got to get both of them. Left hand side of midfield was Eriksen.
Yeah.
The right hand side's a question mark. And the number 10-ish player, who was more of a third central midfielder, is a question mark. And then it's Kane up front. Can you figure out where or who the other players are in that?
Nailed on players in that year would have been Dembele.
Yeah.
Dembele was actually the more advanced player in this.
Danny Rose would have been the left back.
No. It wasn't Danny Rose.
Okay.
I'm wondering if it's Kyle Walker-Peters.
No. He made his debut at Newcastle. Chadley would have been in midfield.
Chadley's on the right.
Okay.
Good shout.
So
you need your left back and then your two centre midfielders.
Is this under Sherwood? Is Bentaleb?
No, 2015.
Bentaleb is one of the centre midfielders. So you need one more centre midfielder and your left back.
Dyer?
Eric Dyer.
Dyer.
And the
left back.
2015.
Ben Davies?
Ben Davies.
Oh, what?
Ben Davies.
So the team has not changed. Not changed a huge amount.
So that's
3 years.
Yeah.
3 years.
Three seasons.
So you got three of the back four: Dyer, Dembele, Kane, Eriksen.
Mm. And these two. Look at these two.
So that side. Dross. That side was so Michel Vorm in goal. Back four of Walker, Vertonghen, Alderweireld, Davies, Dyer, and Bentaleb sitting in midfield. Then Chadley, Dembele, Eriksen, and Kane.
So but why Kane, Vorm have played?
The Kane of 2015, obviously, is not. Not the same. Not the same Kane.
Not
now.
Physically the same.
I think that the reason Vorm played was that Hugo had an illness or something, and he was thrown in last minute.
Because I can remember, Friedel played probably his last game. We bought Hugo, and we played, Friedel for like five or six games, and then put him in. And I can sort of recall Friedel being at Old Trafford.
But the team
when we beat them in 2014.
Probably not then. I think that would have been his first season out.
But if you look at that, since then, we've still got some of them players, but they've got 3 years worth of experience. Yeah. Like the Eric Dyer in 2015 was still nowhere near the player that. I think that this game was when the team list come out, everyone was thinking, who the hell's playing centre midfield? Because Dyer had been a centre half.
Uh-huh.
So when he went in there, everyone was a bit like, well, what's that all about type thing.
Because Bentaleb certainly never had the physical attributes to play a defensive midfield in the British sense.
Yeah.
You know, like lovely United would have played it with Carrick, just spraying the ball around.
Spraying the ball around is long range.
But his attitude stunk and Poch saw him off. So fair play.
We got a lot of money for Bentaleb as well, didn't we? And I thought he was actually going to go on to be quite an important player for us, but it just obviously wasn't to be.
Touch left footed though, wasn't he? Touch one footed.
Bentaleb.
Yeah.
Abbas?
Yeah.
I've got some listener questions to fire at you, actually. So, Jay, the first one for you. So this is from Sam Latchford, so little brother. Thoughts on the mentality of the Spurs players in the post-match interviews speaking about winning the league? What are your thoughts on that?
I don't think it's a surprise anymore. I think we've beaten last year's second place at home.
Mm.
City are already looking like very beatable. Why aren't we eschewing for the? In fact, I said this to a group of other mates who I've grown up with.
You've got other mates
who completely laugh because half of them are Liverpool fans,
oh.
and the other half are Arsenal fans. Mm-hmm. So they despise me.
Yeah.
And there's another group of them that are QPR fans, and they despise me because I like to talk about Leeds as an aside, because they're a new fan favourite for me this
season. Yes, Bielsa's Leeds.
But why shouldn't we?
Yeah, I like it.
You know, why shouldn't we talk about winning the league? We, you know, and what will happen is the naysayers will say,
Nay.
Well, it's not happened.
Nay. Nay.
Thrice.
They haven't done it for 40 years or 50 years. They won't have the staying power, the mentality. Yeah. But I think this is the most unified, the tightest unit in the Premier League now, who, as we've just talked about, have played together
a lot of football.
A good few years. Stato Gareth Davis on Facebook says, do we give Toby his long-term contract and give Ericsson a contract on par with Kane and Hugo?
I think so, yes. I think we have to.
Good answer.
do you not think Christian's gone off the ball this last couple of games?
No. I think other players are shining.
I think it's kids keeping him up. It's plausible. He's a new parent, isn't he?
It's not affecting Kane. Kane scored twice in August this time.
Kane's probably got an army of doodlers.
Jay, Mark Oldfield on Facebook said, would we still have won if Man United had signed Toby?
Interesting.
It's a great question.
Yeah,
it is a great question. And last night I would have said no.
Mm.
It depends who he's paired with. If it's a Jones, maybe. If it's for Smalling, less so.
We know he would have been in for Jones. And I think, genuinely, I think the if there's one that knows how to defend against Harry Kane, it would be Toby.
Stato, Mark Walsh on Facebook says, it was nice to see Rose integrated back into the side, despite the back pass. Would you like to see him stay at the club?
I would. I'd like to see him stay at the club because he's the kind of player that we like, the attacking mentality. He's frustratingly casual at times, hence that back pass last night. I'd love for him to stay and be a success at Tottenham for his mental state, for his benefit. Yeah. And certainly for him putting pressure on Davis and giving us options is very much a good thing, because I assume it costs us a lot of money to try and replace him, because we don't have a left back. Luke Shaw probably could be good enough to do it, and Poch would certainly like to work with him again. I'm sure he would like to with Poch, but I'd be more than happy for Danny to stay another few seasons.
I don't think Woodward and Levy are getting on very well.
I think it's plausible.
I don't think many people get on well with Levy, to be honest,
because they don't get their way, and Levy tends to get his way.
I think all the rumours around there only being one conversation, I don't buy either. That Toby transfer saga rumbled on for far too long.
If someone wants to stand there and have a dick waving competition with Levy, they're going to suffer, aren't they?
Yeah. So I'd like to see Luke Shaw one day at Tottenham, as I'm sure Potts would. You've all read what he talks about.
Yeah. But I wonder if he's coming towards the end of his contract. Maybe I don't know his deal at all.
Not sure.
But he's been there a few seasons now, probably four seasons.
Maybe
they've not let him, slip. But he wouldn't have been signing a new contract last year, would he? The mental things that were going on with Maureen. He had a whole year out with a broken leg his second season. Yeah. So maybe he's coming towards the end. Maybe. It could happen.
Yeah. Another Danny Rose question. This one for you, Jay, from Zach the Big Z on Facebook. Is Danny Rose a liability?
No.
We
all know Danny Rose. He's played for us for what feels like an eternity now, 6-7 years at least, and we've seen him at his best, and I think
seen him at his worst.
What characterises the periods where he's at his best is his playing.
Yeah.
Mm.
What characterises him when he's making those absolute howlers like he did yesterday is when he's not playing.
Yeah.
He needs game time.
Yeah.
And it's as simple as that.
And last one, so Stephen Marsh on Twitter for you, Stato, said, is Lucas Moura the signing we all craved?
I think so. I think he gives us that intensity. His speed when closing players down just doesn't give defenders any time. Lots of managers seemingly are trying to get their players to play out from the back, and we're going to see lots of mistakes. We just have to, like Dele last night, he couldn't get the ball from under his feet. He couldn't quite. So the attackers have got to be alert enough to capitalise on those mistakes the defenders are making. But I like him. I do. He's not just an out and out winger, because, like I said earlier, I don't think that's a role in football that's relevant anymore. But that dynamic attacker, probably playing on the wrong side and cutting in.
I think through the middle he looks so dangerous, just running at centre.
But that space, when Kane comes deep, he gives you that option. But also he made them drop so deep because of his pace that there was gaps between their midfield and their centre backs to
I think the fundament he was taking on a lot of defenders last season, but going nowhere.
Yeah.
Not releasing quick enough. Mm. And not bringing others
a
in.
A bit Townsend-esque. A lot of teams used to run with his head down, didn't they?
Yeah.
A lot of teams won't give us the space that we were afforded last night. And that's not a criticism of Man United, because it was their intention to attack us. But you wonder if other teams, you know, who've got pretensions just to stop us, maybe, will give us that much space. But
that's when you bring Eric Lamella in.
Well, exactly, this is the point. We've got him, we've got Lamella, and we've got Son potentially playing for one place.
Yeah.
Or great, we can then put pressure on Eriksen to say, come on, Christian, if you Jay thinks you're not playing as well lately, thinks we could take that 100 million for PSG. But the strength.
Well, not 100 million from PSG, just you know.
It's always good to have healthy competition in the squad. That's exactly what you want.
He
came off against Fulham, didn't he, for Lamella?
I can't remember, to be honest.
I was sort of being distracted by my kids, but I think he came on.
You saw more of it being outside the country. I was in the country and didn't see it.
He came on. I think pretty much certain it was him that came off. He was having a terrible game. Again, wasn't seeing the ball, letting go of the ball far too easily.
He created that opportunity, didn't he, early on, where he dispossessed the centre half, playing the ball across and just overhit his. Touch.
But we're used to the highest possible standards from Christian, aren't we? You know, game changing at every moment.
Fantasy football update. Are you both in the league? You're in the league, aren't you, in it?
I haven't done it for a few years. I went out on a high. I won a couple of big ones. But it took a lot of time. You have too much time.
Yeah. James Lamont.
Oh, no, I put my team at the start and I never touched it afterwards.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Because I disagree with the whole ethos of it. But I want to play.
Our top three, James Lamont's still up there in first, Richard Healy in second, and believe it or not, breaking into the top three is Abbas.
Well, proof if it were needed that any arsehole can play it.
Ouch.
It's luck. We love you, Abby.
It's not luck. Not everyone does.
Are you playing the main one? Hang on, sorry.
Abbas took Eriksen out this week and put sent a message to the group saying he did something ridiculous.
His team's a bit of a disgrace because he's only got one Spurs player in it, just incredible. What? He's got one Spurs player in
his side.
Didn't he take out Moura and put in Richarlison this week or something ridiculous like that?
He has got Richarlison minus 2 points because he got a red, so that's the kind of
move. Has he got any Arsenal players?
He hasn't got any Arsenal now, so that's the only thing.
Any of you got any Arsenal players?
Yes.
I haven't got any Arsenal. They never do that.
Because they're no longer a threat to us, so I don't care.
Like it.
You only Liverpool?
Presumably, lots of defenders.
I've got a couple of Liverpool.
They're becoming the new Arsenal for me. I did one year where, this dates it slightly, but I had Phil Babb at Coventry, who then immediately signed for Liverpool. John Scales of Wimbledon, who immediately signed for Liverpool. And then a Liverpool goalkeeper and other Liverpool defender. So on the occasions they get clean sheets, I absolutely up cleaned points. Up. Yeah.
Was that in the year of dial-up modems?
Yes, very much so. And Fantasy Football, the television programme.
Oh, yes.
Where my namesake, Stato, ruled the airways.
Keep up the work with top two. We don't want the top three to be the whole season, but anyway. Anything else want to
cover? Yeah, we must get James Lamont on. Sorry, when I met him last year at Wembley, he said he'd love to come
on.
And James, if you're listening,
give us a shout.
Are you trying to get home tickets for Liverpool?
Got them. Got my same seats from last year. Yeah.
Okay, the site's down.
There are epic problems.
We've had
on the site,
so many problems getting on and not being able to log in properly, and it's been a bit of a nightmare. So.
Sorry, guys. We got in early doors and got them.
What, 10 o'clock this morning?
Oh yeah, my mate does it, so I've got one.
Mate, I just logged on just now.
And
I've just seen a tweet from Spurs saying the site's struggling.
Yeah,
which is not great.
Is it us or is it Ticketmaster?
I think it'll be the Ticketmaster bit behind it, the e-ticketing guys that run. Yeah.
Whether or not you get the tickets or you don't get them, whatever happens,
the future's
bright. Future's lily white. Come on, you Spurs.
I always thought there was very, very many people interested in football, and I always thought that football was a very important game, but I never realised until today just how important it is.
Whether the Wonder Boys of White Hart Lane are or are not the team of the century can't possibly be more than a matter of opinion.
Well, they're the finest team in Great Britain and one of the best in the world. We are about the glory of the game. We are about playing with style. We are Tottenham Hotspur. The curve of the ball, the billow of the net, the beating of the trap and the picking of the lock, the swiftness of thought, the lightness of touch. We are Ginola, Greaves, Klinsmann. We are the collective gasp, the intake of breath, the flick, the trick, the 30-yard free kick. We are Hoddle, Mabbott and King. We are the lob, the chip, the dummy and the volley. We are the hat trick, the scissor kick. We are Bill Nick.
That is schoolboy's own stuff.
We are the outside of the boot, the inside of the net, and those seconds that last forever.
Van der Vaart to level it up. Raphael van der Vaart, 2-2! It's quite a game, isn't it always?
We are Jennings, Defoe and Perryman. Glory past, glory future. What was, what is, what's next? We are Blanchflower, Ardiles and Bale. We are about winning with a flourish. We are about winning with style. We are about the glory of the game. Daring to try, daring to risk, daring to dream. To dare is to do.